Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. The Medford City Council is planning another roadshow. Last year in the late spring, council members held town hall meetings in each of Medford's four council wards, talking about city actions and fielding questions, hundreds of questions from constituents. The town halls return on Wednesdays starting April 3rd. That first meeting will be in Ward 1, Northeast Medford, at North Medford High School at 6 p.m. Let's talk about the issues of interest to council and constituents at the moment. Randy Sparacino is Medford's mayor and former police chief. And our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Mayor, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So I have to assume last year went relatively well because you're doing the town hall format again.
They're fantastic. The engagement that we had, I estimate we got close to 800 people between the four town halls. The first couple were extremely packed, and as each one of them grew, it was fantastic. The engagement was incredible, and it actually helped to drive some of our council decisions over the course of the year. And as a result, we're doing it again.
So give me an example. What kinds of things ended up on the table before the council based on what you got out of those meetings?
So Measure 110 was a very hot topic during all four of our previous town halls. And we decided as a body to urge our legislative body in Salem to take some type of action with regard to Measure 110 and some of the issues that we were seeing as a result of it. And we ended up creating a resolution that we presented to our legislative body, and we also had a couple of meetings with our local legislative representatives to work on the engagement and some of the ideas that came up through our resolution were actually utilized by the changes that we saw in Salem. Not going to take any credit for that, but we feel pretty pleased with what's coming out of Salem.
Well, I don't think people get lost in the numbers. Measure 110 kind of speaks for itself, but that is the drug decriminalization measure. Was certainly cited as an obstacle. The council voted in September to call for repeal. You didn't get that, but you say you're pretty pleased with what the legislature did?
It's a step in the right direction. I mean, there are some aspects of the reforms that, you know, that could stand to be tweaked a little bit as we go forward. I had a meeting with the local public safety coordinating committee on Monday, and there are some issues that are really driven by whether or not you have space for individuals in a custody situation or in a treatment facility. So those things are going to have to be addressed as we go over the course of time.
Yeah, the custody situation is an interesting one because if you don't have space to send people to jail, you still don't have much of a stick.
Exactly, and that could be a hindrance with the way the reforms are written.
So Measure 110, big concern last year. You'll probably hear some more about it this year. Certainly be able to communicate things like what we're talking about to the town hall meetings. What other kinds of issues are of concern on the council side of things that you want to deliver to the public at the town hall meetings?
We'd like, because this is an opportunity that we have to actually share with our constituency what we do. Not everybody watches our late-night exciting shows at 6 p.m. on a Thursday, especially during football season. So gives us that opportunity to let them know how we're handling issues, and some of those things that are again, hot topic things are, you know, prohibited camping, homeless situations, how we're handling the housing situation in Southern Oregon and in Medford specifically, and a lot of our major projects. We have very high-dollar major transportation projects that we want to ensure that people understand how they're going and what's happening. Because, you know, if you were to see it in its level of completion today, you'd go, well, boy, that Foothill project is a multi-million-dollar project. It doesn't look like it's very complete from McAndrews down to Hillcrest, and you wouldn't realize that we're only in one phase at this point. So it's really important that we let folks know where their dollars are being spent.
Randy Sparacino is Medford's mayor and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about issues on the table as the city council members head out for another series of town hall meetings starting April 3rd. They'll be on Wednesdays, April 3rd in Ward 1, Northeast Medford, April 10th, Ward 2, Southwest Medford, April 24th, Ward 4 in Northwest Medford, No, wait, that's Northeast. Shoot, I'm getting lost here. Okay, Ward 4, Southeast Medford, Hedrick Middle School, yes, on the 24th of April. And then Wednesday, May 1st, Ward 3, Northwest Medford at the Rogue X. You can join us on the conversation. Get your questions in now to jx@jeffnet.org. So let's come back to homelessness for just a bit, because we talked about Measure 110 and its involvement with all of that. There was a good question asked at least once last year, I noticed. What do you do with people who do not want help, either with addiction or homelessness?
There's not a lot we can do. And unfortunately, that's where some of our treatment options are falling short. We need better opportunities for engagement with mental health. Our commitment process in the state of Oregon is pretty tight, and justifiably so over the course of time. But I think we may have gone a little bit too far in restricting what we can do to get somebody treatment, because sometimes you just need to be stabilized, and then you get started on the road to recovery, and that is the difficulty. So that's where you have to have a balanced approach between enforcement, treatment, and housing options. And that's what we have been trying to do in the city.
Stabilized, it's a good term. I just wonder how it might be seen by the people who are in the situation of saying, well, we're going to stabilize you now.
Yeah, probably not taken as favorably as you would want to believe. But yeah, I can see where the difficulty would come in right there. But, sometimes that's all it takes is some type of push in the right direction to get people stabilized. In my prior career as a police officer, there's a lot of people I run into over the course of my days in the city of Medford that I had dealt with as in the throes of severe addiction, and now they're fully recovered, and it took an enforcement action to get them stabilized, and sometimes that is what it takes.
The Grants Pass versus Johnson case about public camping is coming to the U.S. Supreme Court for oral arguments just before the third of the town halls. It comes right in the middle of this process. How closely are you watching that case at the city of Medford?
We're paying attention to it, but we also have had our own cases that have gone through the court system, and we're trying to ensure that we maintain our approach within the guidelines that we have been given with regard to House Bill 3115 and the Boise case. We want to ensure that what we're doing right now meets the current case law.
I noticed the brief filed, an amicus brief filed by the League of Oregon Cities in the Grants Pass case mentions Medford and the Greenway. Has there been much improvement there in the last year or two?
Yes. So we've, as things have moved forward and we've expanded some of our sheltering options and we've also expanded our prohibited camping ordinance, we've seen a lot less camping on the Greenway and in our green spaces and in our parks. And we believe that our livability team has done a fantastic job in ensuring that those areas are safe and that people are referred to the appropriate treatment that they want to take advantage of.
I'm glad you brought that up. I did want to ask about the Medford Police Livability Team. Tell people what it does.
The Livability Team originally was conceived back in the late teens, 2018, 2019, as a small group of police officers that initially were police officers and some other citizen stakeholders. They were initially going to be utilized for livability issues, but as time has passed and with the pandemic, the main livability issue has become houselessness and getting folks to the right treatment that they need. And that's primarily what they do. They address issues on the Greenway and the parks, and then we expanded that team late last summer to add a group that's dedicated to downtown Medford.
So how many people altogether on the livability team?
Oh, man. We have six police officers, several unsworn folks, and then we also work with a large group of stakeholders from La Clinica to Rogue Retreat and other access that helps us out there to get people to the resources that they need.
They stay very busy, don't they?
They are busy pretty much every day. It's I think Chief Ivins compared it to painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You start on one side, you work your way to the other side, and then you start over and work your way back. But they're very successful. The statistics, and I can't quote them off the top of my head, have shown that they've actually gotten a lot of people into transitional housing.
Randy Sparacino is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the mayor of Medford and the former police chief. We are talking about a series of town hall meetings coming back to the city of Medford starting on Wednesday, April 3rd. They'll be on Wednesdays, April 3rd, April 10th, April 24th, and May 1st in each of the four council wards of the city. Questions now? Send them along to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Mayor Sparacino, the flip side of the homelessness part, which we've been talking about mostly here, housing. What is cooking there within the city of Medford that might put some units in place fairly soon?
Well, one of the things I did when I first got elected as mayor is I created an ad hoc committee with our development community to try to expedite the process for getting housing developments through our system. And it was assembled with a large group of local developers, architects, and other stakeholders. And we identified a lot of mechanisms to make that quicker. And when it comes to housing, you actually have to address all forms of housing, from subsidized to the middle housing all the way up to the top, because that's how you keep housing affordable. So there's a lot of opportunities with regard to sheltering and subsidized housing, and we've done some great things. We have the Genesis Project going in downtown. That's going to be a workforce-level housing center in the middle of downtown. We've also got almost 734, I think it is, multifamily units that are going in the city. All of those types of things are going to contribute to lowering the cost, hopefully, or at least stabilizing the cost. And during the course of the last couple of years, we've received a significant influx of ARPA funds that we've put towards some of the subsidized housing units that we're putting in Medford. We're also a member of we get HUD funding and CBDG money that also goes towards helping get people into housing at the lower end.
We should clear that up. Community Development Block Grant, CDBG,
correct.
Not CBD.
Yeah.
No. So, think about the fact that over the nearly 40 years I've been in the Rogue Valley, I've watched Medford's population grow substantially. Can the can the housing, even cranked up to its highest speed, keep up with the population growth?
It's a difficult task. And it's a hard ask because there's a lot of regulation and planning and things that you couldn't do it all at once. You have to take the time to ensure that the developments are planned appropriately and meet all of the needs. You have infrastructure needs that also have to meet that with sewer systems. You can't just build a 300-unit housing complex and expect the sewer capacity to meet that need without addressing the downline sewer needs. So you're right, it's going to be a difficult lift, but we have the right people in place, and everybody in the city of Medford is doing what they can, and I speak as the city employees and the departments, to make the city of Medford the best place to live in Southern Oregon. So they're working hard to ensure that we can meet those needs.
Let's come back to the transportation issue you mentioned earlier on about the Foothill Project, the eventual broadening of Foothill Road, the strip that runs north-south on the east side of Medford. And you're saying there's a couple more years of stuff to wait for there, huh?
Yeah, the anticipated completion date is late 25. We are ahead of schedule, but don't ever hold us to those heads of schedule, because anything can happen over the course of we could have an extremely wet summer and that could slow down progress. But right now we anticipate completion being ahead of schedule. Originally it was going to be completed in 2026, so we're moving well ahead of that pace. But again, it could change at any time depending on supply chain issues or weather conditions that could actually hinder the process. But it will be a vital link for the east side of our community and help to address some of that expansion, which is occurring in the northeast section and the southeast section, which dovetails into the New South Stage extension and some of the exciting developments that are occurring down at the south end of town with our future employment center and other housing.
Anything to report on the New South Stage Road extension?
There's a few things that are going on. There's some studies that are occurring with ODOT, and ODOT understands that we are the largest city on I-5 that only has two interchanges. So they're looking at it in trying to make a determination of whether or not South Stage is going to be an overcrossing or if it's going to be a an interchange, which I would prefer the latter option.
Okay. A lot of things happening in the city of Medford. City council members and some staffers take to the streets on the month of April and into May with town hall meetings April 3rd at North Medford High School, April 10th at Oakdale Middle School, April 24th at Hedrick Middle School, and May 1st at Rogue X. Mayor Randy Sparacino will be there for at least some of those. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange to lay out the issues and talk about the plans.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
You bet. This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take a short break and come back and talk about master melittologists. Stand by.